This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, gents. How you doing?
I'm good. Nice crystal clear morning this morning.
We went out. A little chilly.
A little chilly.
I was going to go with chilly.
It was 45 at my house, so it wasn't too bad.
It was colder at mine.
I have no doubt.
Quite a bit of frost still on the ground. It's kind of funny. It's been frosty almost all week at my house after we had that little discussion about
the warnings and the
last frost date in San Diego.
Yeah. Well, when you live in the sticks, that's going to happen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Let's
see. It was crystal clear this morning. I didn't see a moon, although I think it's almost 70%. The 1/100th of an inch of rain we were expecting the day before yesterday did not seem to materialize. At least I didn't get any rain. Yeah.
No, I actually went out because it was a little dry with that wind yesterday and put some water on the newly planted fruit trees.
Yeah, I've got to turn my sprinklers back on today when I get home.
And the next chance for rain,
next weekend?
Maybe next weekend. We'll see.
Yeah, you were saying that.
We'll see.
Kind of.
It's a long way away. It's almost like 7 days.
It's like a week.
Yeah. It's like a week.
Almost a whole week. Yes. It's so.
Wow. And I missed the space station flyover today. It was 5:09. It was supposed to.
I was looking while I was driving as best I could.
I normally get an email notification of that, and I did not receive one. It must have been too far north for my zip code or something.
I can't believe that it's that far different, but I got it because I got the notification yesterday.
It's very sad I didn't get
maybe
it.
Maybe your subscription expired. Yeah, I don't
know. I renewed my subscription.
Yeah. I don't know. We're still buds.
Why.
They should just leave you in the database until you opt out. I don't know why they have to renew it every year. That doesn't make any sense. But
we'll take that up with the powers that be. And I did find when we did have our real cold weeks ago, I found some frost damage on one of my citrus trees.
You mentioned that, yeah.
And it really surprised me. Because I've never noticed it there before, but it's kind of in a cold air drainage alongside my driveway. And this is the first tree that the cold air abuts to. And it was just the one side where
the cold just rolled down.
It stopped down
the slope.
Yep. So you have different climates in your yard, like microclimates of some sort?
I do. Isn't that amazing?
No, not really. I appreciate the fact that you recognize tell people, because we have that issue sometimes when people, when you say, well, where do you live? Oh, right here. So it's the same as you. Well, not necessarily.
Well, that's the thing.
Not necessarily.
Exactly.
In my neighborhood, we live about, our cul-de-sac is about a third of the way up this long slope that goes through the neighborhood. And I'll get up in the morning sometimes in the wintertime. I won't have any frost in my yard at all. By the time I get down to the bottom of the hill, everything's frosted
cold
over.
It just settles down into that valley.
That is what I remember about your first house in Scripps Ranch, is you were at the top of the hill or three quarters of the way up, and there was never frost up there. But if down at the bottom
down
of
at the
hill,
bottom, it was
always,
really cold.
Always.
Yeah. Really cold.
It's almost like cold air sinks or goes lower.
It's like it's heavier. Or something. Yeah.
Something like that.
Huh.
We'll have to.
They'll look into that.
Yes, we'll do some investigation.
Yeah, pretty wild. But looks like it's going to be a nice day today. I don't know what the temperature is supposed to be. They said it was supposed to be 80 in Poway yesterday. It was not.
It's St. Patrick's Day parades today.
So. Oh, that's right, in Balboa Park.
You going?
No.
Oh, I will be, yeah.
I would hope so.
Pause.
Yeah. Pause.
Please
continue.
Okay. Let's see. We have classes today, both stores in San Diego. It's going to be spring vegetables with Josh and Poway. It's going to be bonsai basics with Richard Wright.
No, you're off. It's
what?
That was last week.
Was it last week?
Yes, sir.
My word. How did I manage that?
So today is basic grafting techniques with Tyler.
Oh, Tyler. Okay. Very good.
Well, so
scrap
the part. The part of reading the classes will now be done by George.
Well, only if you want them accurate.
So
spring vegetables with Josh is in at 9 o'clock
in San Diego,
and in Poway, it's basic grafting techniques with Tyler.
So when is James doing organic pest control? Is that next
week? That's next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I wrote that one, the first. How did I do that? Okay. And then next week it's organic. Well, like I just said, organic pest control with James in San Diego, and California native plant propagation with Renee Murphy, formerly of Moosa Creek Nursery.
Correct. Yeah. She's going to come down and do that for us. She's pretty excited. It's going to be an interesting class.
I don't think we've ever done a class like that before.
I don't think we have. We've done propagation classes of some sort, you know, seed propagation, but I don't think we've done anything like this. So she's going to do seeds. And
it's funny, the seed propagation class was with another. Oh, no, it's Brigitte. That's almost
so
like
close.
Another Renee.
Yeah.
Never mind. Please continue.
Daylight saving starts tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock. So be sure to set your clocks back for that lovely little.
Are we going forward?
We're springing forward. Yeah. And St. Patrick's Day Parade is today, as we mentioned. And St. Patrick's Day is Thursday, I think.
I believe it's 17th on Thursday, yes.
Yeah.
Thomas's 21st birthday.
So if you're looking for some festive stuff, I know we had some left in Poway. I don't know if they have any in San Diego, but red and green shamrocks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had some 2-inch ones yesterday and some 4-inch ones. The 6-inch ones seem to have all disappeared, but the smaller ones were still available as of yesterday. Orchid shows next weekend, 17th, 18th, and 19th down at the Scottish Rite Center. 18th, 19th, and 20th, excuse me, at Scottish Rite Center in Mission Valley.
I'm going to take away your calendar privileges.
I know. That's what I transcribed it, and that's what the problem is. So... anyway, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd be more than happy to talk to you. You had an interesting Wednesday wisdom on the Facebook page.
For bees.
For bees.
Native bees in particular.
Natives, yeah. Yep. I was somewhat surprised by that.
As was I. How many bees? Well, I guess for those that probably didn't read it, David, how many native bees species or do you think there are in the United States? Native bees.
A lot.
There's a little more than a number. What would you say?
100.
1,734.
Oh, there are 4,000.
Oh, wow.
Native bee species.
Not even close.
Americas. You're, yeah.
I know, but Mark was thinking I was over, and I was still under.
You were under.
Okay.
And prior to...
That's a lot.
Prior to the European settlers coming, we didn't have honeybees in America. Honeybees came, you know, the European honeybees. The
European honeybee.
So it's pretty interesting. And so we have a lot of plants that our honeybees don't... The honeybees that we brought over do not pollinate. Like they're not efficient at pollinating tomatoes. They don't do squash very well. They don't do blueberries well. Although I did get a good picture of
that. That was an incredible picture that you got.
Well, when you say they don't do them well, are they not attracted to them or do they have a...
I think it has to do with where the pollen sits and the bee.
So they physically still go to them.
But they're not as effective.
But they're not.
Right.
I gotcha. Yeah. I would have never even...
Yeah, in fact, there's a great we linked to a PDF that's an interesting study, two PhDs that Forest Service in concert with a pollinator partnership, and they did a study, and they were just talking about the different aspects of native bees versus the European honeybees and what they pollinate, and right now in America, Ken, I think you and I talked about this, 75% of all of the food crop that we eat is pollinated by bees, 75%.
Wow.
That's a lot of food.
It kind of would make them important, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it
a little
makes them
bit.
Very important. So when you're doing those sprays that we advocate, excuse me, regularly, read the label. You know, some things you don't want to spray when the bees are foraging, some things you don't want to leave on and that might be toxic to bees. So it's very important that we take care of them.
I haven't noticed that many bees on my trees yet this year, but I did see apricots, so I'm assuming that the bees that I did see were
doing what they were supposed to do.
Or it could just be natural pollinization, too.
good point.
Then we don't need bees.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Okay, then we do need bees.
We do need those bees.
All right.
Well, you know, the other thing you need to be aware of, too, is that if you're using chemical controls in your yard, just because something is organic doesn't mean it's not going to kill bees.
Thank you.
And that's what I was saying about reading the label. Very important,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
we advocate a couple things. Even horticultural oil, if
you spray it on
bees,
a bee, it's going to kill it.
It's going to kill the bee while he's on there, or she, rather, the foraging.
Yeah. So, a lot of that is timing. Making sure that you're spraying and you're applying stuff, and it's drying before the times when the bees are going to be really active in the area.
And so, would you say that it's really important to read the label?
I absolutely.
I was going to say, David, why would you want to read the label?
For it is a violation of federal law to use this product in a manner inconsistent with its labeling.
Exactly.
Don't you know? And you could harm instead of doing good. That's all.
Yeah, have to be careful.
Do we have time to quickly cover the avocado leaf question that we misanswered a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, we've got time. So go ahead.
I don't think we misanswered. We just weren't sure at that moment.
Well, we didn't really do a very good job of answering. But I had totally forgotten about birds shredding foliage of plants. You know, we have it at the nursery with the lettuce and crops, and they do it all the time, and it gives these very rough edges to the leaves. And I've seen the damage on my avocados year after year. I've gone down there during the night with a flashlight. I've looked, can't find any evidence of any bugs other than there's damage to the leaves, but I didn't consider birds, and I don't know why, and that's probably what it was. Birds shredding the leaves.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know when we had the vegetable planter in the center of the table, the finches just destroyed the kale.
You guys used to talk about that a lot. Yeah.
Cucumber
yeah.
leaves and sunflower.
Yes,
the large leaves on the sunflowers, they just come and rip everything but the veins off of that.
That's
leaf.
When I was introduced to it, and because of where it was, and it's obvious on squash. It's obvious to me because they sit on that mid rib and eat everything around it or shred everything around it.
Right.
I just didn't think about it in context of the avocados. So now I do think about it
there
in
you
context
go.
Of the avocados. Thank you.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go all the way up to San Francisco where David is waiting. Good morning, David. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Although I see the California drought is continuing, so I was calling to urge people to put in a local vegetable garden. Does San Diego have community gardens?
We do have some.
Yes.
Scattered throughout the city.
Well, it might be a good idea if they got expanded. I don't know if you're familiar with the Ukraine being called the breadbasket of Europe.
Yes.
But if you go on Wikipedia, they say that 25% of the world's topsoil is in Ukraine. 25%. And if they're going to have a war up there stomping around in the topsoil, they not only would be damaging it, but they would be causing food to not, you know, right now is when they're preparing to put in crops. And if they're going to have, if this war lasts more than a couple of months, throughout the year, there could be some real food shortages throughout the world.
That could be a problem. Yeah, I have
heard
them talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were saying ancient Rome depended upon the Ukraine for wheat. All sorts of different issues. It's, you know, very accessible to the Black Sea, I guess, and. So just the idea of local gardens, getting something in, making sure that you've got, training happening for the next generation. Because if these fools keep going with these wars, I mean, it's bad enough they're, damaging nuclear power plants up there. With 25% of the world's topsoil in an area where they're screwing around with nuclear power plants, what could go wrong?
Yeah, it's going to be a real problem, and fortunately, there's a lot of schools have taken up community gardening, and there are some garden areas around San Diego. Quite a few community gardens in San Diego, as a matter of fact. So it looks like people are taking note of it. David, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening up in San Francisco. We do appreciate that. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. David brings up David from San Francisco, not David sitting across the table.
He never
me.
Brings yeah. up the
good points.
He did bring up some good points, and you know, one thing that we noticed after 2019, the pandemic started right. in 2020, the amount of vegetables that we sell either in 6-packs or 4-inch or seed packets has skyrocketed.
Yes.
People are.
We ran out of stuff last year. Seeds and we couldn't
keep it in stock.
Correct.
And that really, the supply lines have gotten a little better, but that trend has not disappeared. So
correct.
even though we're not in the middle of a war, so to speak, here in this country, a lot of people have started growing their own, growing their own to supplement their.
Right. A lot of folks were kind of. Equaling or adding it to their, I'm doing a victory garden kind of backyard because I don't want to go to the store every day. In the early days of COVID, when people were afraid of how it was spread, they said, I'm going to just do a garden at home so I don't have to go to the store every day.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I still remember the video I saw on a commercial, a public service announcement of somebody sneezing and that going across an entire grocery store over right. all the aisles and all the way down. And it
created a lot of fear.
Yes,
apprehension. People didn't want to be in a store with crowds, right? So they minimized their trips. So the lettuce would go. They'd rather have it out in the backyard.
I don't want to be in a store with crowds because I just don't like people.
That's true.
Other people.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, we all have our reasons.
That's right. But it's good to see people getting back into vegetables, fruit trees, and all of that.
It's definitely. Broaden the horizon we have a lot more customers now that weren't
gardening in the past. Maybe.
Correct. Yeah. Gardening in the past or growing their own stuff.
Yeah, one of the things David and I have commented on, we see a lot of younger folks, young couples, whether dating or married, that are coming in and they are building their first garden or they're really getting into trying to have a backyard vegetable patch.
We have a lot of people. There are, like you said, a lot of community gardens down here.
Mm-hmm. They're scattered all over.
It's heartwarming to me. I really like seeing people get into that. The fruit trees bring so much enjoyment to me and to my life.
Me as well.
That
you want to share it.
I do. I want other people to experience it. And we lost a generation or so of people that didn't experience that. And now it's starting to happen again.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny because we have lost generation, not just this past, but... it's amazing what used to be popular and who we used to deal with to get them, get the plants and or like the societies, the geranium society or the orchid society. Or
camellia society.
And now it's like, epidendron. It's weird how things
trends
are just
kinda
come and go. Right. And
the people that were... in charge of those things have gotten older and gotten out, and there wasn't another group
somebody
coming up behind
them. It. Yep.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah, that is true. We had another interesting avocado situation yesterday with the one that was returned.
Kurt got back to me. He thinks that was just sun scorched from the heat a couple of weeks ago, and it just burned the tender skin there and was causing it to bleed like that. He wasn't at
so
all.
So he didn't think that caused the... die back up above it?
That he did not address that. But if it was the heat, if it was the warm period that we had, then that would have fried off the top. I don't know.
I would have thought it would have affected more of the bark, too.
It looks different than that. But that's what he
said. Kurt
thought it was. Kurt Peacock.
He's a certified arborist.
He's actually going to teach a class for us in a couple of weeks on what is an arborist and when should I call one. Should be a good class.
That would be a very good class. But it was a 15-gallon avocado. They brought it in. The first, foot and a half was fine.
Yes.
And then there was a black ring of bark, and everything above from exactly that black ring up
started
look scorched. Like it was dry. So we thought that it was something, some kind of pathogen or something that had attacked the bark in that area and girdled it. Because it was exactly at that point that everything went south going up above it. Yeah. So it was
going north.
It was going north. Yeah. It was kind of interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because the first foot and a half of growth was it looked fine. There was nothing wrong with it at all. Hmm. And then above that black ring, everything was
so he said canker of some kind could be from Sunscald during the last heat wave that created the canker that shut it down from that point up.
Okay. Well, that
makes sense.
That would make sense. Let's see. What else we have going on? Oh, Melanie came up with an interesting recipe the other day. Oh, it was Irene had it. And she gave it to me. It was a ceviche recipe, but instead of using fish or shrimp, you use cauliflower. So it was like a vegetarian ceviche.
Huh.
And it was actually pretty good. I have to admit.
David, you're looking over your glasses.
Well, David doesn't like cilantro. So.
Oh, well, that sounds great. I need to get that recipe.
Well, Melanie's got it.
I will get that from your bride.
I don't know that I would say that it was...
I wonder if you could substitute beets for the cauliflower.
No.
I'm sure you can.
It wasn't as much like ceviche. I mean, it had the lime juice and the tomatoes and the onions and cilantro and all the other stuff in it, which is fine. But it was a little crispier. It made a nice salad. Let me put it that way. It was good. I enjoyed it. But then again, I don't usually complain about
much
food that people are making for me.
Yeah, you do.
That's not true at all.
We've offered you all kinds of things.
But you didn't make it. You just offered.
No, we had things made. I remember once one of our customer friends of ours brought in. I gave her beets, and she brought in a beet hummus.
That's
and
right.
We didn't want any.
That's right, because it had beets in it.
Yeah.
So you might turn something like that.
So I don't. I never turn anything down that Melanie makes for me. Let me put it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's different. Okay.
I'm bringing beets in Monday for Melanie.
That's a horse of a different color.
So anyway, I think she was going to put that recipe in the newsletter this month, but it was actually pretty good. Pretty good. Let's see. We talked about the citrus and the frost damage. You said we had going back to bees, we had mason bees in stock. Do we still have them in stock? Do you know?
That's an excellent question. I think we do. We got in the tubes that are in the fridge, but I didn't look to see.
And see, I like the idea of mason bees and getting more pollinators in your yard, but God, that just seems like a long way to go to do it, because you only get a few bees at a time,
but
and they have to build up. You have to build up the population, so it's not an overnight.
Aren't they ten times more pollinatorific, or is it 100 times? They're much more aggressive in their pollination than regular honeybees. It would be worth it, but one of the
selling points for them is that they tend to be some of the first bees that emerge from the cold winters to start doing their pollinating. But here, our honeybees are active all year round.
I need a hive.
We have one. Well, we lost ours to bee robbers.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was working in.
Well, there was wait a second. Hold on. When he says bee robbers, Mark, what do you think of? No, seriously, I want it because the way you said, are you serious?
I should
serious?
Have said hive robbers, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
You think somebody came by and swiped his bees?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought
you thought. Fair enough. No, this was another hive came in, a stronger hive.
Oh.
And came in and decimated the hive and then took the honey.
Really?
Yeah. I was working and I thought our bees were swarming. So we suited up and went into the midst of it, and it was a battle going on. And
wow.
There were dead bees all over the ground, and those were our bees on the ground. And then our honey was gone, and there was no one left in the
hive. I'd never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Nor did I, nor have I.
So we're going to try to catch a feral hive here in first week of April and repopulate.
Where do you
find a feral?
One flying by her?
There's a box you can put out and try to catch them.
Oh, I see.
Do you have like a signal flagman on there?
You do. You have somebody stand there, like an LSO on the back of a carrier.
Well, isn't the key to it though is getting the queen? Isn't
the key
it?
Is to have ideally to have a docile European honeybee, queen, as opposed to maybe one of the more aggressive bees. But there are people that get feral hives all the time and just keep the current bee.
Well, I know
the current queen in it.
My late uncle, when he lived up in Placerville, and he had a couple of hives, and I remember he would go out and take the frames and had a machine
a centrifuge
to spin the honey out of the frames without damaging the combs. And when he was done, there was honey all over the unit, and he would just set it out on the table. And
by the
end of the day, there was no honey left in it at all.
Nope.
The bees would just come in and pick it all up and take it back to the hive.
Huh.
It was fascinating. I had no idea that they would do that, but
yeah,
they
didn't will know it. That until just now.
Yeah, it's they're pretty industrious little things.
Very much so.
Yeah. You don't hear too much about colony collapse anymore, at least not in the past couple of years.
It's true.
The talk about that has died down dramatically, and I don't know if the last I had heard was that they were starting to bounce back. So I'm assuming that trend is still
Just looking to see how much more efficient mason bees are, and I came across this part of the story where it says there's more than 4,000 species of native bees in the U.S. Did you know that?
We should have said that at the beginning of the show.
You should have mentioned that.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned that.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd be more than happy to talk to you. Go ahead.
Of those 4,000, 140 species are different types of mason bees, in case you were wondering.
140 different mason bees?
Different, yes. Species of mason bees in North America. And they're all solitary. Males do not have a stinger, and the females will only sting if trapped or squeezed. Don't squeeze your mason bees.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Learned that the hard way, right?
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. I was out looking at the roses yesterday, which they actually look quite
gorgeous.
Nice.
Hang on. So 400 mason bees do the work of 40,000 honeybees.
Wow. That's
a
lot.
But it probably takes a little while to build up the 400 mason bees.
Yeah, about 100 years or so.
But just real quick, Ken, before you go there, speaking of bees, we were talking about the R's getting robbed, but the reason that happens is there's not enough nectar. And so there's not enough plants that are producing nectar for the bees to go and forage, so they're going to come and steal the honey and take over the hive.
Interesting. The dynamics.
You want plants to feed your bees. Feed the bees.
Fair enough.
Tuppence a bag. Feed the bees. Feed the birds. Sorry. Okay, go ahead. The roses were looking. Looking gorgeous.
They look gorgeous. I still have not seen one bloom yet.
Oh,
Yes.
Okay, because I went out yesterday and looked, and I didn't see it. They're budded like crazy, but I have not.
We had an angel face last Saturday that was blooming out there.
I know there was fragrant. There was a customer came in and picked up a ginger snap that was absolutely
loaded.
It was absolutely perfect.
There are so many buds out there, so many bouquets. Yeah. They look fantastic. And because of the weather this year, I have seen no signs of any downy mildew or anything at all.
No, they've been clean. They look really good right now. Some of the other thing.
Did you say if you want to give us a call when we came back?
Well, they mentioned that in the.
Oh, okay. You don't. Okay.
In the please return. Continue. But yeah, if you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We do have onion sets in stock. We have some onion sets. We still have some seed potatoes left. We have boxes of seed potatoes now.
That's with the spring bulbs. And we also got in a sweet potato.
A sweet potato.
Oh, really?
You can get a sweet potato in a box.
Yes.
One sweet potato per box.
Well, it's a plant. It is kind of.
It's potentially a plant.
Well, I thought it was interesting packaging, but yeah, you just take it home and put it in your garden. And have you grown sweet potatoes, George?
I have. It's very easy. They're like a morning glory. The beautiful flower. They do well. And then I normally harvest them. Well, I had been harvesting a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, letting them dry out, mm-hmm. and then using them in Thanksgiving time frame.
Nice.
Aw.
Work well. They're
That's
easy.
Very good.
Very easy.
And you do not bury them like you do a regular potato. You just plant them and let the vines run along, and then
that's
they
what
root
I've done. Right.
Tuber.
Yep.
Okay. So it's a different.
So you don't bury them deep. You just put.
Well, you don't keep piling on as the stems.
Yeah, right.
You just plant the tuber and let it go.
Yes.
And then wherever. So then when the vine's laying on the ground, that's where the.
Yeah, I've grown the them in big like whiskey barrels, and they're just full of potatoes.
From the vines rooting and then tubering
underneath. Yes.
Okay.
Is that a verb? Tubering.
It
Modified
is now.
Stemming.
It is now.
Yes. We're okay with it.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go out to Poway, where Brenda is waiting. Good morning, Brenda. How are you?
Good. All right. You mentioned that you're all excited because you hadn't noticed any mildew on roses. Well, I had mildew, and you reminded me, I saw mildew on my snap peas, and that didn't happen last year. So what happened? Why?
It's usually more weather-related than humidity.
Usually as the weather warms up, they are more susceptible to mildew. So it is time to start thinking about replacing them, or you can treat them for mildew. What is your favorite mildew treatment, gentlemen? Do you use neem?
I like neem oil for just powdery mildew, right? Not downy mildew. Yeah.
Yes.
For powdery mildew, neem oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean,
or Immunox, copper.
I think I'll just start over. I'll just start over because they didn't get very big either.
How often are you watering
the plants themselves? Didn't. Well, that may be a problem.
Don't.
Maybe.
Yeah, make sure they get fed regularly and watered well. And like we said, the mildew is really more of a function of the weather conditions than anything else.
But don't replant peas at this time of the year. It's time to start thinking about the peas of summer, which we call beans, if you want that vining legume.
Okay. Maybe I'll stop by tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll be there for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. You have a nice day.
You know, the powdery mildew is interesting because it's not like a lot of the other fungal. It doesn't need moisture. It doesn't happen necessarily because it's wet. It actually does well in dry Mediterranean climates.
Yeah. One of the rosarians used to wash off their roses every morning to prevent mildew.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of a
seems counterintuitive. Yes,
absolutely.
We're going to head up to Escondido, where Dennis is waiting. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, thank you. I take my 4-year-old grandson through my garden and my property, just showing him various flowers and plants and everything, trying to get him interested in plants and vegetation. But one of the things that I'm curious about is that. On an acre of property, I don't seem to have any earthworms. Does chemical fertilizer wipe out earthworms?
I believe it can, especially up in the soil surface areas. But earthworms need organic matter and good soil.
Moisture with that organic material.
And moisture in there as well, yes. So if you're not mulching and just have open arid land or arid land, you're not going to have earthworms.
Large populations, not near the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they need the organic material to feed on. So that's why you want to make sure that you mulch regularly or in areas that you're planting, add organic material to the soil.
And they will reproduce very quickly. So if you start to encourage them and enhance the soil and make it an environment where they want to be, they will multiply very quickly. I did that once with a bale of straw. And just the food and the insulation and the moisture around that created a tremendous worm bed.
I use straw as our in the mulch in our vegetable garden in the paths. And yesterday I went to plant some lettuce and I moved some of the straw and I honestly couldn't count the number of worms that were right at the surface. So it worked, as David said, the straw and any kind of mulch works really well to give them a home, a habitat that they want to live in, and they'll thrive.
Where do you get straw?
Well, you can use anything, but you can get straw at a feed store. But you can use any kind of good compost, any kind of organic material will work.
Feed and tack stores have bales of straw usually. You're up in Fallbrook?
Escondido.
Yeah, one of your horse places should have it. In Poway, it's Elston's that we go to for our bales of straw.
And a bale of straw will cover quite a pretty good size area. I mean, they're packed.
Yeah.
They're packed tight.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about one particular planter that's kind of in the shade. Maybe I could put something in there. The steer manure, does that count for worms?
Yeah, that would help.
Composted.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and just mix it in with make sure that it's well composted before you mix it in. But that would work. You know, horse manure would work too. But there again, you don't want to put it in fresh. You want to make sure that it's been composted for a while.
No, I was thinking about buying something out of a bag.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah,
be fine.
That should be ready to go.
Okay, very good. And by the way, you've mentioned this before, and I forget what it was. My grandson and I were picking lemons the other day, and I'm beginning to get ants again on my lemon tree. And what is it that you recommend to spray on the tree?
Horticultural oil. It'll take the answer. Yeah, the ants are probably going after some type of a sucking insect, like a whitefly, aphid, or more often than not, scale.
Yeah.
The horticultural oil will kill any of those things. Once you get rid of those, then the ant problem will resolve itself.
Okay. Oh, very good. Thank
you. Okay.
Man.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, Dennis.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
I've been getting horse manure from my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
semi fresh. But
is that the horse that eats your citrus?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's Skeeter. Well, Skeeter and Chiquita.
Okay.
And I've put it down just to start to encourage some worm
activity
in one area, because it provides the insulation. It'll keep the moisture that's in the soil there, and it provides them with food. It's kind of my little worm.
It's an amazing process, and we have mulch around all the fruit trees. And if I move the mulch for anything, if I'm going to check the sprinkler, make sure it's wet, there are just tons of worms. It's great, and they are
obviously, you don't have chickens running around.
Not
under those
there,
trees.
No.
And you know, if you want to get if you have an area where you don't have a worm population, but you want to get them started, we do sell bags of worms.
Right.
And I've seen many little
at the nursery
wormlets. What's a baby worm called?
A baby worm.
Yeah.
A baby worm.
Yeah.
The little hatchlings. What do you call them? Yes, little worms. And they will, you just need to get them started. The first time I did it with a straw bale was making a raised planter for asparagus.
Right.
And after a couple of years, the bale collapsed because the worms were, it was breaking down and the worms were eating it. And then that whole area was just filled with worms. That's the end of my excitement.
That's the end of your story? Okay. On that note, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. You know what else we have a really good selection of right now in the store is strawberries. We've got an entire table full of strawberries out there. I think most of them are in six packs.
Mine was in a 2-pound container.
A 2-pound container? Yes, I saw it in the clamshell container.
Yes, they were quite tasty.
Yeah, I did see those.
Only $3.99 at Grocery Outlet.
And you only have to water those once, right, when you rinse them?
I am supposed to rinse those, aren't I? Yeah. Am I not? Yeah. I don't.
It's typically, I don't either. That's
too much work.
Well, I just open them and eat them. And
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. I guess we could
learn. And yet here you are.
Yeah.
So. I noticed.
Excuse me.
What?
I was.
I noticed yesterday when I was out walking by the Moosa Creek nursery table that they had some of the giant Coreopsis out there. Have you seen that? The native Coreopsis?
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't look like Coreopsis.
No.
At all. But one thing that I have noticed,
it looks like a herbaceous weed that I would cut down if I saw growing in my garden.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because as you come up Palmerado Road headed south and it transitions into Spring Canyon where it cuts through Scripps Ranch, on the north side there's one section where there's a stand of it, and
during
drought times it just looks like a dead weed. But when you get a little bit of water, the foliage comes out, and it's in full bloom right now. And they're probably, I would say, maybe 3 feet tall. But it's just this one stretch where there's a line of it about maybe 20 feet long. And that's the only spot that I've seen it, where I've ever seen it in the wild before. And it's not even in the wild. I mean, it's in the neighborhood. But
you know what I thought you were going to say about the Moosa table?
No.
We got a second delivery this week.
It was full. Yesterday. Yeah, it was packed yesterday.
We need more.
We did have some native milkweed in stock. We had a few gallons out there. So if you're looking to get started on a butterfly garden, now would be the time to start thinking about that. We did have plenty of tropical milkweed in stock, if you want to put some of that in as well. Let's see. Oh, and also in the spring bulbs, a couple of my favorites in the spring bulb collection. One of them is Sprichelia.
Oh, yeah.
Aztec lily. It's a really
pretty little,
really interesting looking flower. It's a flower that looks more like a fleur-de-lis than anything else that I have ever seen before.
I was going to say a skinny amaryllis, but.
But it's a little bit different than an amaryllis, but a nice dark red color, very interesting plant. The other one that's really cool, although I've never had any luck growing them, although I know some people did because we used to get them in containers, gloriosa lilies.
Yes, or
gloriosa rothschildiana, really pretty. It's a vining lily with a beautiful red, reddish orange flower with a yellow edge to the petals.
Correct.
Really, really pretty plant. And who was it?
Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts used to grow those in 5-gallon containers.
Oh, they were spectacular.
They were really, really pretty.
Yeah, I never had luck trying to grow them either.
Yeah.
But his were
perfect.
What's challenging about it when you say you never had luck
we
growing
put
it?
We put it in the pots and they didn't grow.
Put it in the pot and they died.
So planting it makes it, kills it. Apparently.
However.
At least the way we did it.
Exactly.
However, I did not just try once and fail and quit. I did it 3, 4, 5 times.
I did it at least twice and
got
killed it.
A plant to come up about 4 to 6 inches, never saw a flower.
Didn't they have a different colored one, a yellow one too?
There might have been just a straight yellow.
I think I tried to do both and I killed both.
And Dave Roberts brought them in and they were on a little baby trellis. They were in full bloom and I thought.
He did a wonderful job growing them. Yeah.
Why would I don't know what his trick was, but he
Well, he knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
For other tips, give us a call.
Call Dave Roberts. This is for professionals only.
One thing I noticed as I was walking into the store yesterday, we have one end of one of the tables in gallon color that's just osteospermum.
Oh, geez.
And I remember
how many colors. Yeah.
I remember when the only colors of osteospermum were white and purple.
Yeah.
And they bloomed in the spring only.
Yeah.
And the common name for osteo?
African
daisies. Yeah.
And now there's just a whole rainbow of colors.
Oh, yeah.
And these bloom over a much longer season.
They're beautiful.
The perennials that we get now are
I think they're a little bushier than the ones that we used to get.
The more ground covers.
White and the purple were more were more ground covers.
Well, I have white ones all over my yard. I can't stand them. I mean, that's a plant that I want to rip out, but every time I rip it out, it pops up someplace else. Yeah, they're very easy to grow.
They add a lot of color to a landscape.
They actually do.
Yeah, it's a tough plant.
There's a really neat plant. One. That has spoons, the spoon flower
the spoons,
one.
Well, yeah, those are really pretty.
Interesting petal on it.
Those are interesting. I remember when we lived on Galveston Street, we had the white ones growing in our front yard. The entire front yard was covered with it, and it would get so deep every once in a while. My dad would bring home a hedge trimmer and just start cutting it and rolling it in like a blanket until he got everything cut back and then just hauled it away.
Right.
It's a tough plant.
It really is.
It grows very quickly.
When it's in flowers, it's pretty. But.
And the common name of the reason I asked is, you know, you said it's a African daisy,
mm-hmm.
and as are Arctotis, and there's I think three or four other plants that are called that. So sometimes customers come in asking for African daisy, and you bring them to the osteospermum, and like, oh no, that's not what I'm
that's
looking
not
for.
It.
Well, is the problem with common names or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think isn't osteospermum also what's somewhat referred to as highway daisies?
Yes.
It used to be
freeway daisies.
Yeah, because they used to use, they used to use the white a lot, but then they used a lot of the yellow or orange, because I remember in the springtime.
But that's a different type of daisy.
But isn't it an osteospermum?
I don't think so.
The orange one? No,
the ones that, the orange and yellow ones that are blooming now is a different, I think it's a pyrethrin.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected then.
And I am not certain of what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Well, what I can tell you, it looks like California poppies when it's in bloom.
Yeah,
you got to look really close. Wait, as you're flying by at 65 miles an hour,
I'm not looking over.
Heard a story about somebody who was losing a bet about that. One person said osteo or daisy, and one person said poppies. I don't know how it was resolved. I don't think what I've seen does not look like poppies yet, but who knows? When do the poppies bloom? Aren't they a little bit later?
I think they're a little, but while we have some that are blooming right now. Are you talking about natives?
The California poppy.
Oh, a friend of mine was out in Borrego, and stuff is starting to bloom out there. Not the crazy blooming season like we've had in the past, but things are starting to pop. Things are starting to pop out there. So.
Yeah,
if you want to go see some color. Now it's probably not a bad time to go out there because it's not not crazy busy out there.
Well, it's because you not can't afford hot, the gas to go. Exactly. Over
well,
the
that's
hill.
True. Yeah,
it's not going to be busy.
There is
thanks,
there
George.
Is that. Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice buzzkill, George.
Yeah,
here to help.
Hey,
have a great weekend.
Only $5.35 per gallon for regular unleaded at Costco in Poway Business Park yesterday. So today it's probably 40 or 50, but.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Or more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway.
What are the classes coming up? Oh, actually, let me ask George that.
Yeah.
So San Diego at 9 o'clock today, we have, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, spring vegetables, right?
Spring vegetables with Josh. Correct. 9 o'clock.
Oh, we could have asked Mark. I apologize.
No worries. And then we have in Poway at 9:30, we have basic grafting techniques with Tyler.
I just didn't
I think that'd be a fun class.
I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to
participate. No, you're not.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.